Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this hour. You know a Nick Lowe song when you hear one. There's a certain bouncy guitar against some sly lyrics, like this classic from 1978's Jesus A-Cool.
I remember the night the kid cut off his right arm in a bid to save a bit of power. He got 50,000 watts in a big acoustic tower. Security's so tight tonight. Oh, they're ready for a tussle. Gotta keep your backstage passes, 'cause your promoter had the muscle.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
I can't help myself. That's not to say the man can't slow it down and write a heartbreaker, like his 2011 release, I Read a Lot.
I read a lot nowadays, much more than before you left me high and dry.
So when Nick Lowe releases a new EP with the name Love Starvation / Trombone, I mean, it kind of makes sense. His upcoming EP comes out May 17th with an assist from the band Los Straitjackets. Let's check out a little bit of trombone.
Trombone, come play your song. Make it the one about good love gone wrong.
And I am so pleased to have Nick Lowe in studio. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Allison. Nice to be here.
I was just sharing with you that I had a very unconvincing fake ID, but I used to get into Lupo's Heartbreak Hotel to see you in the 80s.
Well, your secret's safe. Or perhaps it isn't anymore.
I think statute of limitations have run out. I think I'm fine. So I'm interested in, what is it that you like about releasing an EP as opposed to a full album?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's quite hard to answer, really. I don't know whether my heart is in it anymore, really. You know, the releasing a record, touring, you know, record touring. And when I hooked up with Los Straitjackets, who I do shows with, have been anyway in the last couple of years, a lot in the United States. It just seemed a lot more fun to just, you know, I had a couple of songs that seemed like they would be appropriate to do with Los Straitjackets, because not all of them, the songs I come up with, would be. Mm-hmm. But just to, you know, go into a studio and knock them out, you know, and it just seems a much more relaxed sort of way to do it.
Seems like more fun.
Yeah, it is. I suppose that's what I'm groping for, yeah.
I love the sound of the EP. It kind of harkens back to some of your earlier work, but I'm curious about capturing that sound with all the technology available to you now.
In a way, all the technology available it sort of spoils it, mm-hmm. with the kind of stuff we do, because it is pretty sort of basic stuff we do, there's not much of a mystery to it, and sometimes it sounds better if you do it in a sort of old-fashioned studio as well. But you know, there's ways you can trick the equipment, you know, to make it. Well, you know, you can't. It's no point in doing some retro thing from yesteryear. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make it. You know, you want. I'm very anxious to try and encourage younger people to come to our shows rather than just preaching to the converted. You know, luckily that's happens over here. There's a lot of younger people who seem to really like people of my vintage. You know, come and see. People of my vintage, and by young people, I'm talking about people in their 30s, really. I mean, I've got to be realistic here. Yeah.
It's interesting you said you can spoil it. That idea of just because you can add a bell and a whistle doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, that's right. There's too many options. There's too many options to nowadays, I think. Anyway, I That's my problem. Don't expect the expect your audience to really care much about that.
You'd be surprised. We have a lot of artists and musicians who listen.
Oh.
So it's okay if we get all granular and nerdy. Oh, we can nerd out on that. Are these songs that are on the EP, are these recently written songs, or are these songs you've been kicking around for a while and they finally found themselves?
A couple of them. Love Starvation, which you know, everyone's been calling this EP Love Starvation / Trombone. It's not a very it's not a very elegant title, but it's because we came up with this idea of having sort of two covers, you know, as if it was two separate records, and on one side it's the record's called Trombone, and the other side is called Love Starvation. You know, but there's only two tracks on each side. And Love Starvation, I wrote actually with the Straitjackets in mind, because mm-hmm. I thought that's the kind of song that we could use. But some of the other songs I've had knocking around for a while and didn't have high hopes of, really, but it does suit this particular thing that we do.
My guest is Nick Lowe. We're talking about his new EP, Love Starvation, one side, Trombone the other side.
Yeah, okay.
That's a little bit long to say, but okay. Yeah. You've mentioned Los Straitjackets a couple of times. Tell folks who they are and how you all hooked up.
Oh, they're fantastic. Los Straitjackets are, they've been going for a long time, and they've got a significant following of their own, all over the world, in fact. But they're an instrumental group, sort of surf instrumental guitar group, and they're known for the fact that they wear Mexican wrestling masks on stage, but they're a terrific group. I'm very fortunate to have hooked up with them. I've known them for many years, really, and I got together with them because of about 5 years, we share a manager, you know, so it was not that ridiculous, you know, that we get together. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I released a Christmas record, which enjoyed, you know, quite a lot of success over here. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, two of my very close friends and collaborators died, sort of one after the other, and rather took the wind out of my sails when it came to promoting this record. I didn't really much feel like it. But then it was suggested that when the next Christmas rolled round, that perhaps I could do some shows, Christmas shows, with the Straitjackets, and we did that for 2 or 3 years. Even went to Europe and did a few shows, and people seemed to really enjoy it. But then we felt we'd sort of done that, you know, and we got started to get offers to do what you might describe as out of season work. And that's when it really started taking off. The crowds have come, and they really seem to enjoy it.
What is it that you really like about working with them?
Well, they're very good musicians. You know, you've got to be good to be able to turn almost anything into a surf instrumental. Mm-hmm. You know, which they can do. But they're not so arty-farty musically.
Precious.
Yes, not so precious. Yeah, thank you very much. That's the word I should have used.
I'm here for you.
Yeah. They know how to swing, which is a very important ingredient of a lot of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're very agreeable traveling companions as well.
You know that's important.
It certainly is.
It's very important. My guest is Nick Lowe. We're talking about his new EP, Love Starvation / Trombone. Will you play something for us from the new EP?
Well, with pleasure, yeah. I'll play Love Starvation.
Excellent.
I won't be playing Slash, though.
Okay.
Before I do it, I'll just say, because I finished touring with Los Straitjackets last night, I'm a bit croaky today, so I crave your indulgence, especially singing quiet.
Okay.
Okay, the Love Starvation goes like this. Mm-hmm.
I woke up early with love starvation, hugging my pillow all alone in a rickety bed. Baby, if it's any consolation, the needle's in the red. It only hit me when I went by a mirror. That's when I saw what was written all over my face. I'm suffering love starvation, a very bad case. I tell you something about love starvation. It's like a prison in your mind you're locked up in. Disappointment, desperation, your two old friends. Make it stop, if only I could turn back the clock. Make it so, cause I tell you that I can't exist in a world like this. Show me a love that comes in colors, or even one I can dream in black and white. Any love is better than no love, so any love's right. Make it stop, if only I could turn back the clock. Make it so, cause I tell you that I can't exist in a world like this. I woke up early with love starvation, hugging my pillow all alone in a rickety bed. Baby, if it's any consolation, the needle's in the red. The needle's in the red. Love starvation, baby, it's got me on the back foot. It's put me in a dark and lonely place. Got me never knowing if I'm ever going to start living again. Love starvation, baby. Love, 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 love.
That was Nick Lowe from his new EP, Love Starvation / Trombone. It comes out May 17th. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Brinsley Schwartz.
Oh, my gosh.
Do I have to remember all the way back to that? I'm interested in the energy of that scene when you first started, of that sort of pub rock scene. And do you see that kind of energy anywhere today?
Well, not really in London, no. Mm-hmm. There isn't really a live music scene in London. It's
that's sort of the sad.
Yeah. It is. It really is. We were very lucky to have that that scene going on. It only really worked in London, the pub rock thing. But it was a good excuse for people who weren't, you know, whose faces didn't fit really in the mainstream at that time in the early 70s. It was a good place for them to get some recognition and put themselves in front of people. And I don't know how well known. Well, Elvis Costello, of course, is well known in the United States. But people like actually, Dire Straits were a pub rock group, actually, and Ian Dury, mm-hmm. Quite a lot of other sort of unusual type of artist. So, and it was very vibrant. It was very sexy, actually. It was a very sexy time. But like all these things, you know, there's one of the bands that was very successful was called Dr. Feelgood, and they were sort of a blues band, sort of rock and roll band. But they were so successful in the UK that they, of course, attracted a lot of imitators. And blues music is deceptive because it sounds like it's very easy to play, you know, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And there's few things worse than a bad blues band, you know, but it attracted lots of them, and it rather sort of spoilt the whole thing, because that's when the term to say, if you say something is pub rock now, certainly in the UK, it means that it's a kind of dreary guys this bluesy chugging thing, or something that's just not very inspiring. You know, if you say, "Oh, it's very pub rock," you know, that it's not a very nice thing to describe describe music as. But initially, it was the opposite of that. It was really good fun and jumping. You know, the scene was.
Were you able to develop your voice during that period? Not just your singing voice, your writing voice, your stage persona?
Well, yeah, because you could sort of, back in those days, you could kind of grow up in private, you know, and learn your well, craft is putting it a bit strongly, but learn how to work a room, you know, and how to read an audience and all that sort of thing. Whereas people now, you know, if they've got any kind of talent at all, that it seems like they either have enormous success for about 5 seconds, or none at all, because they're just subsumed in the sort of tsunami of, well, okayness. You know, there seems to be a lot of stuff that's okay.
That's okay.
You know,
right.
And it rather sort of spoils the stuff that's just really fantastic, but. It's a shame you can't learn it, you know, quietly, you know. I mean, at the time we were very frustrated, of course, and wanted to get on, and why aren't we on TV, and why can't we get on the radio and things like that. But in fact, it was probably quite a good idea that we had 2 or 3 years to learn a few things about the business.
It's probably why a lot of you still have careers.
Well,
to be honest,
you might be right. Yes, because I. You know, I don't really think anything I do is particularly good, you know, but I can count on one hand, actually, the things I think I've done that's been come up to the mark, you know, I think. But I've been lucky enough to be doing this for more than 50 years, you know, made a reasonably good living out of it. So I think you're absolutely right. Yes, it's lucky I did start when I did.
All right, now that you put it out there, I've got five fingers on a hand. What are the handful that you feel really, that when you look back, you're like, yes, that one. I nailed that one. That one I feel really good about.
Oh, no, not really nailed. No, nothing.
About. I'll go there. I'll take it down a notch.
A nine out of 10,
okay.
You know, I think is a real top mark. Well, I've written two or three good songs, you know, which I think really do stand up, and one of them I think you've asked me to play today,
yes,
which is What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding, because that song, although it's never been a hit, it's been covered by lots and lots of people. You know, not everybody knows it, but it's a very well known song,
mm-hmm.
and it's strange listening to it, you know, because I feel as if I had really very little to do with it. It's quite odd whenever I hear somebody doing it. I think, oh, they're doing that song.
Oh, that song I wrote.
Yeah, yes, but it doesn't. Yeah, I don't get a surge of, you know, pride, you know, or amazement or astonishment. It's unless I do actually do a double take, you know, and think about it. But also one or two others, you know, I wrote a song which Johnny Cash recorded, which I'm very pleased with, because, you know, I wrote it for him and he recorded it, called The Beast in Me. One or two others, and you know, a couple of records that I produced for other people, and that were good records, but not a great deal. It's not a huge list.
My guest is Nick Lowe. I was going to ask you about your work. You're a prolific producer.
You really
worked with so many different people. When you go in as a producer, what do you see your job as?
Well, when I did do it, you mm-hmm. mean, yeah, because mm-hmm. I don't do it anymore. But when I did do it, I suppose I went a mixture of a sort of cheerleader and kind of father confessor and... Yes, the mixture of those two, really. But it was more. I didn't really do any actual knob twiddling, but I was good at telling people who did do the knob twiddling, like an engineer, you know, what I wanted them to do, and sometimes it was unconventional, and they'd roll their eyes a bit, you know, but they'd do it, and sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't, but. But I got a reputation as, you know, making records that sounded, you know, different, you know, for a while. And the other thing I did, I suppose, was to encourage the artist to go further than they thought they could go, and sort of egg them on. And that is really what a producer's job was in those days. A lot of very successful producers couldn't play any musical instruments and couldn't, you know, tell one chord from another, but they were good at, they knew about records and how to make the record sound interesting, you know, over 2.5 minutes, you know. And, for a while I was pretty good at it. But then times change and, you know, the styles change, and I was very aware that people's tastes were changing, and my shtick, you know, went out of fashion. But I left behind some pretty good records that I was involved with from those days. Still sound pretty good.
Who should someone go listen to?
Well, I did a lot of Elvis Costello's records. I did about 5 or 6 of his albums.
My name's Alison, I'm aware.
Yes, Alison. I love Alison, yeah. I love her. I play Alison sometimes in my show. Sometimes. I mean, yes, it doesn't escape me that is your name. But it is a great record, though, is it not?
It is a great, great record. Would you play What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding for us?
I'll do my best.
We'd love it. This is Nick Lowe.
As I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity, I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain, hatred, and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And as I walk on through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Where are the strong? Who are the trusted? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony now? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, you know, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Understanding. Understanding, brother. Understanding, sister. Understanding.
Nick Lowe, thanks so much for coming by All of It.
Thank you very much for having me, Alison.
This is All of It on WNYC.